Amen. Amen. Good evening, everyone. I hope you had a blessed week. I hope you've been reading the Word of God, seeking the face of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, while we're in the land of the living. It's a gift here to be here again. Thank you, Robin and Fiona. It's a real gift to serve you, the Word of God. Before I start, I wanted to obviously look at the book of Daniel, chapter 1, but in November this year, I was preaching on the time of Jacob's trouble in my church when Hamas attacked Israel. And when I was preaching, I said, watch out for Iran to get involved. Watch out for Iran to get involved. And lo and behold, they're there. It's very prophetic days we're living in. You know, but we must keep our eyes on the Lord. The scripture has been fulfilled in some shape or form. The Lord's in control of everything. And we must pray for the people of Israel, for their protection as well. They have many, many enemies, but it's very sad to hear what happened today. But the Lord seemed to stop a lot of those drones being flown in, and we praise the Lord for that one. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but Father to one eternal Son, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, in your holy name, bless our hearts today. Bless our minds today as we go through the book of Daniel. Let us explore faithful men that were taken into a foreign land, but they trusted in you. They trusted in you, Lord. They didn't leave you, even though they left their land. You were with them, Lord. You were still with these brave men in the book of Daniel, Lord. And just bless all of our hearts as a reminder, Lord Jesus, that you would never leave us nor forsake us, but it's important for us to be faithful to you, Jesus, even in the days we're living in this beautiful country, Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for all the families here. Bless these beautiful kids. Bless their hearts. Bless their minds. Fill them up full of God's beautiful word and let them know, God, that you love them so much and everyone else in the house of the Lord today. Whatever you're going through, no matter what you face, remember this. The God we serve always goes with us. Remember that in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Pray. Amen. Amen. In Daniel chapter 1, in 586 BCE, before Christian era, God brought judgment to his people. God was always their shepherd. He was always shepherding the people of Israel. But his sheep were not following him. They were not walking with God. God made a covenant with the people of Israel, but they weren't keeping that covenant. And they went down a very, very dangerous path into the wilderness. Very, very dangerous path. They weren't following their God. They weren't following him. And God made a covenant with them, filled with immense blessings to the people of Israel. Immense blessings. And God loved them like a husband loves a wife. He was faithful to them. As a father loves a son or a daughter, so God loved Israel. The problem is, the Jewish people, they weren't keeping that covenant with God. They weren't keeping the covenant with the Lord. When Solomon died, Israel was split into the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. 10 tribes actually rejected Solomon's son. They rejected him, and Israel was split. Unfortunately, the kings they had, not all of them, but definitely this king in Daniel chapter 1, weren't serving the Lord with all his heart, with all his mind. He was an ungodly king. God sent prophets, watchmen, to warn the people of Israel to repent, turn back to God. Like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet in the streets in Jerusalem, weeping for his people to turn back to God, and they didn't care. They didn't care. I'm sure there were a remnant of fire-breathing Jews that really cared, but the people were so gone. It's like today in Sydney, you tell them judgment's at the door and they don't care. It's really the Christians that know what's going on. And except those who walk with the Lord, people are not aware that judgment was at the door for Israel. In the book of Lamentations, it's described in a beautiful poetic way, the fall of Jerusalem, it breaks your heart, the visualness the writer pens. Isaiah warned Israel, they didn't listen. We do serve a God of love, but he's a God of justice. These were his own people he made a covenant with on Mount Sinai. Remember that. Remember that. And they didn't believe in Isaiah, Jeremiah. And God raised a pagan king as judgment against his own people. The first temple was destroyed. Solomon's temple was destroyed by someone named King Nebuchadnezzar. Very fierce king from Babylon, modern day Iraq. He was a man you didn't want to trifle with. He was a very, very powerful Gentile king. The most powerful man at that time. And you can only imagine the fear that would have gripped the Israeli people when they heard that the Babylonians were coming to Israel. Over a number of years, the sieges happened. We can only imagine they would have thought, what's God going to do? Surely God's going to do something. Surely God's going to come down from heaven and save us. But God did do something. He brought judgment to his people. And they got sent out into exile. And God's judgment always starts in the house of God. It started with his people that were not following him. Not all of them. I know there were a small portion of people that loved the Lord, that weren't into these kings that didn't care about God in Israel. And King Nebuchadnezzar was a vessel of judgment sent by God. Sent by God. He permitted it. He permitted it. Just like when they rejected the Messiah, Jesus, Rome destroyed the second temple. They weren't keeping their covenant in this time of Daniel. Can everyone open their Bibles to Daniel chapter 1? Daniel chapter 1, please. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, remember Israel split now. You have two kingdoms. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Jehoiakim was a horrible king for Judah. He wasn't a man who feared God. He wasn't a man who feared God. And King Nebuchadnezzar's the vessel of judgment the Lord's brought to Judah. Israel's kings were failing, and they say King Nebuchadnezzar had two sieges on Jerusalem, three deportations. Ezekiel was written in exile. So was the book of Daniel. Daniel was about 15 to 16 years of age when he was taken into exile, a young Jewish boy. A young Jewish boy, and they're in the wilderness when they write this. But if we look at verse 2, and this should really put some fear in us all in a loving way towards God. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar. With some of the articles of the house of God, the treasures in Solomon's temple. When he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, little g, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. That's little g, of course. There's only one God. Besides thee, there's no other God. It's Jesus Christ. But how King Nebuchadnezzar interpreted this with his God, who was Marduk, was to King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, it was a God war. And they thought their god, Marduk, bet the god of Israel. So they would actually take the treasures into his house of where they served their god. It must have been so humbling to the Jewish people. If you can imagine Babylonian men knocking on your door, telling them, you got 5 minutes, just grab what you can carry. As they had to march 2,700 miles to modern-day Iraq. It must have been so humbling to the Jewish people. They were going to lose their land, the promised land. And how can God salvage this type of wreckage? verse 2, with some of the articles of the house of his God. They've taken the treasures of God and put it into Nebuchadnezzar's God's house. Then the king instructed the Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants, some of the nobles, the royal family. Daniel was from, he's from the tribe of Judah. King Nebuchadnezzar was a very, very wise king. Very, very smart. He can sense there's going to be some talent with these Jewish men. And he wants the best of the litter to serve him. He's a very, very wise king. Very powerful king. He had a glorious kingdom. In the book of Daniel, it talks about King Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. Verse 4, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, that's going to help, possessing knowledge and quick to understand. He wants peculiar men to serve him, young men that are smart, have wisdom. They were trained in Tanakh and Torah, being Jews, but hard-working, so they can reculturalize these young Jewish men. And had an ability to serve in the king's palace. Now this is very, very interesting. We're going to learn about four of the strongest men in the Old Testament who served the Lord. Because they were given a table at the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. And King Nebuchadnezzar wants to wipe away the Jewishness of these young boys and get them to train up other Jewish young boys and get them to love King Nebuchadnezzar's lifestyle, the Babylonian culture. Just forget your God in Israel. We've got all your treasures in our little temple, from your temple, Daniel. Guess what? If you play your cards right, we'll look after you. We'll look after these Jewish people. What would a man of God do then? We'll find what Daniel does. And we have to ask ourselves, how can God save this wreckage? Like, they just lost the promised land. They just lost it. It must have been devastating. The Babylonian soldiers coming on, just knocking on the door saying, grab your stuff and come for a long, long walk to have a long, long think about things. But how can God save this, these people? And it should be a timely reminder to Christians, we serve Jesus, he's a God, and yes, we love him with all our heart, but we have to fear him. Fearing God is the beginning of all wisdom. We should fear Jesus, as well as praise him and love him. And I'm sure there was a small remnant of Jewish men and women that were pleading to God, give us one more chance. Please take us back to the promised land. Please. I'm sure. It's like that today with Christians. I'm sure there's remnants all around in all countries, all states, pleading with God for more time. Knowing the seriousness we're in with the world. And the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, and the king appointed for them daily provisions of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank. So if these Jewish men, young men, wanted to play their cards right, they could have had it easy. Good food, some wine. They could have said, look, I've had a tough time. I probably deserve a wine. And the king's going to look after me. I just got to learn this Babylonian stuff, this literature and their gods. And why not? If I play my cards right, this could be a really good setup. While the other Jews weren't treated as well. But we're going to learn about these powerful men of God that said no. And verse 5, midpoint, in 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king, before King Nebuchadnezzar. You can imagine that. They were serving the God of Israel. Now they've got to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. Must have been so humbling, demoralizing. But King Nebuchadnezzar wants the best, and he's going to look after them. He'll give them a choice room, choice food from the king's court, and some wine. Young boys, you know, they'll look after them. You just do what's right out here. We won't harm you. We just want to train you so we can scrub away this God of Israel stuff, and we'll tell you about our God, the one who's got your God's statues in our little house of worship. It would have been terrifying for these boys, 15 to 16 years of age. Verse 6, now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. See, he wants to change their actual true Jewish names that reflect the God of Israel, Yahweh. And the eunuch actually wants to change their names so they reflect King Nebuchadnezzar's God. So he's going to change the names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. We are introduced to four of the most powerful men of the Old Testament. These boys are so powerful, what they're up against. As Christians, we can learn a lot about their faithfulness. This would have been so, so, so hard for them. They could have easily sold out their Jewish brothers and sisters of the faith. They could have easily sold out their God who they loved. They could have easily done that. Imagine that. You're taken into a foreign land. You're told to worship their God. If you don't cause any issues with whatever you believe, we'll look after you. That's the deal for these guys. It's a sweetheart deal when they're 15 to 16 years of age, and they could have sold out God, but they didn't. They were faithful. They were faithful. And that's how we have to be as Christians. Faithful to Jesus, no matter what. No matter what. We live in a blessed country, in a blessed city. Surely we can see what these young men are shortly going to face. Surely, surely we can be faithful to the God we love. Same God. Because there's something very, very deep here inside these young boys. Their love for God outweighs stuff, worldly stuff. And as Christians, we have to be like that. Sydney's a beautiful place and we have some beautiful attractions, but we always got to understand the God in our heart, Jesus Christ, far outweighs all the stuff in Sydney. Far outweighs it. And here we go. We get to see what's really in Daniel's heart. We get to see how much faith this young boy has. Verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies. He wasn't going to do it. It's unclean to him as a Jewish man. Nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested to the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And the Jewish law, this food wasn't clean. It was sacrificed to other gods. They would have brought this young boy in thinking, this guy's going to, he's clever, he's smart. This guy could be someone. Next minute he's got to call the chief eunuch over and say, I'm not going to eat that food. I'm not going to eat that food. Very, very bold boy who didn't want to defile his relationship with God, with Jesus. He didn't want to defile his relationship. And we can learn a lot from a Christian point of view. It was the purity of his relationship, even in foreign land. He wanted to make sure he was still walking with God. Believing behind the veil. Sometimes in life when God, we don't see God work in our lives, generally speaking, he's behind the veil doing things we couldn't comprehend. I've seen it time after time in my life, and I'm sure you have as well. Sometimes God works best in our life indirectly, not directly. He opens doors, we're like, oh, thank you. Does things in our life. Jesus does so much behind the veil in our life. Surely we can be faithful to him. with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. That stuff out in Sydney, it's a beautiful place. Enjoy the beaches and all that type of stuff. Just remember, it's stuff. It's just stuff. We need to put Jesus first place in all that we do. Verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill with the chief of the eunuchs. We can see God working behind the veil here for Daniel. He knows Daniel's faithful to him. He knows it. He knows what's in Daniel's heart. And this king, it would have been terrifying for Daniel and his friends to tell King Nebuchadnezzar to basically say no to his face to the chief of the eunuchs, say, I'm not going to eat your food. It's sacrificed to foreign gods. It would have been so tough, but they'd done it for the Lord. They loved their God, even in foreign land when they lost everything. They had every right to put their hands up, go, me dreams haven't come true. Where were you, God? They had every right to say that, but they didn't. And they were faithful. And even in our worst moments in life, even sometimes when we blow it, God's always working behind the veil. It's a matter of being faithful. It's a matter of being faithful to God. Not defiling our relationship with Jesus. Not defiling it. He's such a good God. He's the only God, but he's so good to us. As we go through Passion Week recently in my church, you just can't thank him enough for what he's done for us. He that knew no sin paid for it for us all. We've got to be faithful to him no matter what, no matter the cost. We're not in the Middle East. We're in Sydney. Let our light shine. Let us be salt in the workplace. Let us be written letters of the gospel when people see our lives. Let us be faithful to the calling of Jesus. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill. You know, just imagine for a moment, you're in the Middle East, and this has turned to one of us, and they want you to worship Muhammad or Buddha. That's what's going on with Daniel. They don't want him to worship, all through the book of Daniel. They're testing him and trying him out, but he's not going to let go of his faith with the God of Israel. But just imagine, it would have been so hard. Soldiers all around him, still be elegant, nice, kind, courteous, but no matter what, God's inside of me. I'm not going to give up my faith in the God of Israel. He chose not to defile his relationship with Jesus, the God of Israel. Verse 10, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my Lord and my King. He serves him. Who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the younger men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. See, the problem is, they really wanted these really good-looking men to serve them. And Daniel's just saying, how about a few jugs of water and some vegetables and let's see what my God will do. And the chief eunuch's thinking, hang on, King Nebuchadnezzar has ordered this food to be given to you. This is a bit of an issue here. I can't. The chief eunuch can't disobey what his king's telling him. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had sent, said over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. See, Daniel's making a conscious choice here. He's being respectable and kind, but he's making a conscious choice here that God far outweighs the cost. And this could have turned any other way. He could have lost his life for this. Absolutely. Could have lost his life. But Daniel just wanted to be faithful to God no matter what. And you better believe, this man could have lost his life. Daniel and his friends could have lost his life. This is so bold what they're going to do. Stand on the faith of their God. Verse 12, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. It's a pretty bold move to say, I'm just going to eat vegetables and drink water. He's given up very, very nice food as well. It's never easy. Just ask a man. It's never easy to give up good food.
Then, verse 13, then let our appearance be examined. They're going to be examined. King Nebuchadnezzar never wanted people that didn't look right in front of him to serve him. He wanted good-looking men to serve him, young boys. And the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see so fit, deal with your servants. Verse 14, so he consented with them in this matter and tested them for 10 days.
You know what? How often, and mainly young Christians that come to my church or that I've met in ministry, I tell them, smoking's bad for you. Put away the smokes or the vaping thing. Just don't you know the Holy Spirit dwells inside a true Christian? Or put away the bottle and pick up the Bible. And how they can get offended. How they can get offended by that. And this man's given up everything for God. Think about that. Think about that. Very often when I know, when someone tells me, I'll catch up with them next minute, the smoke's come out, I'll tell them straight away in a loving way, look, I'm sorry, you probably shouldn't be smoking. Or that vaping thing. It's not good for you. God loves you so much. And these young men, we're just going to have water and vegetables, no matter the cost. And it's a tragedy sometimes when you say that to them. You know, but Daniel chose not to defile his relationship with God. He chose not to. Wasn't going to eat this stuff that was sacrificed to other gods. Was going to have water and vegetables. Wasn't going to cause any issues, but was going to be faithful. And as Christians, we can learn a lot that he didn't want to defile his relationship with God. And as Christians, we should be the same. Jesus has feelings as well. He isn't a robot. He's a God who loves us so much. And we should walk in a way that's pleasing to him. Just like Daniel chose to in a foreign land. And we should have that in our hearts that we're not going to defile our walk with Jesus. We're not going to do it. I choose not to drink. I choose not to. And it could be such a tragedy. When you see what these men went through, and all through the chapters, they always get tested. Daniel and his friends, thrown in a lion's den, thrown in an oven. They could have sold out and said, nah, it's too much. Look, you're right, I'm not going to cause any more issues. But it was God in them. They loved God so much. They refused the food. They were still always hospitable and kind and courteous, but they loved God so much, and that's how we should be. Especially in Sydney, especially in this beautiful country we live in. But always remember, we've got Jesus inside of us. Don't defile him for a relationship or a packet or whatever that may be. Verse 15, and let's see what God does, though. Let's see what God does. Verse 15, and at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. I think it'd be fair to say you'd think these people would be pretty skinny after drinking water and vegetables for 10 days. But they're not. They're not. Verse 16. This the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine they were to drink and just gave them vegetables. Gave them vegetables. They just wanted to serve God, even in a foreign land. They knew God was watching. They just wanted to serve God. They just wanted to serve God and be faithful. Daniel never went back to the promised land. He lived out here for, they say, to about the age of 90. He never went back, they claim. Pretty powerful man of faith to be serving the Lord. When the deck of cards was always against him through the book of Daniel, he just
knew God was going to do something. That's how we should be as Christians. We shouldn't bend to this world. I understand we all like to go out and go to the beach and go to the cafe. That's all right. I'm not condemning that. But there's a part as Christians where we have to close certain doors. And certain conversations. And just walk away. Knowing that our service to the Lord is too precious to harm that. That the Lord loves us so much as a husband loves a wife who is faithful. The Lord loves us. As a father loves a son or a daughter, so the Lord loves us. Let's be more like Daniel. And what does God do when we're faithful? That's good to know. What's he going to do? He'll do something. I'll honor those who honor me, God says. As for these four young men, verse 17, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Notice that God gave him the gifts. Their gifts. God gave. He saw these boys were faithful no matter the cost. And God always looks after us when we're faithful to him. He always does that. Not when we're disobedient, but when we're faithful to the Lord. And God gave them knowledge. They're going to need this. And skill to interpret the literature and the wisdom, the Babylonian texts, and work out the astrology that they were into. And Daniel's going to get all the keys from the Lord to unlock King Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. And King Nebuchadnezzar has some astounding dreams, especially that big statue, that big Gentile statue that he had. He's the head of it. We're actually like the foot, the toes. That should humble us all to be faithful to the Lord in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 3. But the Lord gave them knowledge. He's still working behind the veil, even in foreign land. When you go to the workplace, God is with you. Remember that. God is with you in the workplace. Be faithful. When you're around your friends, be faithful. And he blessed these men for their faithfulness. Verse 18, now at the end of the days when the king had said that they should be brought in, they had to do 3 years of service, train them up. The chief of the eunuchs brought them in before King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar would actually test them. He would test them. He's a very, very smart king, King Nebuchadnezzar. Very calculated when he went to war. Very smart man. But he's going to test them. He's going to ask them. He's going to test these men, these young boys. Then the king interviewed them. Among them, all none were found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Out of them all, these four faithful men that loved God. They chose not to defile their relationship and just eat vegetables for 3 years and drink water. That's a pretty tough, tough, pretty tough call. Verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he examined Daniel and his friends. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers who were all in his realm, in his kingdom. And King Nebuchadnezzar had some pretty smart cookies. They were very smart, those men. But Daniel just stands out. Like, this guy seems like someone's talking to him. Especially when he's Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 3. And then King Nebuchadnezzar starts to realize this God that Daniel serves, he's a very, very special God. He seems to talk to Daniel and tell the king what's in his mind. He literally plucks the dream out of King Nebuchadnezzar's mind with the great statue and the tree with the stump that's cut down. That made an impression on King Nebuchadnezzar. You better believe it did, especially later on. That made an impression because he was faithful. He was faithful to God no matter what. And that stands out in this day and age. If you're a Christian, you're faithful, people see that. Whether they're a believer or not, people see that. They see faithfulness. It was my grandmother that used to come around to my house when I was a young boy on a Sunday, make sure I was going to church. I was like 5 to 6 years of age, similar to these kids' age. Wanted to be home watching the Ninja Turtles or something. But my grandmother would come and grab the parents, and she'd put me in her car. And she had this old 1970s car. It was spotless white. You jumped inside. It had the wool seats. And she'd play like little hymns on the radio. But I never forgotten her faithfulness. I never forgotten that. She'd take me to church, put me down in the back. She always promised to give me like a lolly or toys afterwards. I never forgot her faithfulness. And I was a young boy or a young, you know, 5 to 6 years of age. I never forgot. She was so faithful. I'd go to her house, there'd be Bibles everywhere. I could just feel the faithfulness of her. Remember that. Even if you're in the older stages of your life, kids see that stuff. Trust me. I saw that with my grandmother. She was just a beautiful woman of God. Faithful. Just like Daniel and his friends, and just like us in this day and age, it's easy to, you know, look around and really enjoy the stuff around here. It's very hard to be faithful. And as Christians, we are told to be faithful and obedient to the Lord and to walk with Him, just like these men did. They walked with God. And the Jews that were believing in Jerusalem that God was going to do something, verse 21, this Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus, Cyrus the Great, the Medo-Persian king who conquers the Babylonians. The Jews were believing in Jerusalem that God will do something extraordinary. He's going to stop them from going into exile. He's going to show up in a cloud of glory. But he didn't. He sent them out to exile. But even in exile, God's working behind the veil, and he brings the Jews back. In future tense. And let that be a reminder to us to be faithful, to be humble, to serve the Lord, to say no to that stuff. Just like Daniel had to say no to some stuff. Just remember that that's a cost for the Lord. That's being faithful to Jesus. He loves it when we're faithful. And Jesus deserves that. He's been so good to us. So good to us. And just like Daniel didn't want to defile his relationship with the God of Israel, so we should be like that as Christians. So we should be like that as Christians. I'll close now. I remember it was about a year ago. I was in Cronulla. I went to a store. It was like a Saturday about 4 p.m. Went to the Woolies there. And unfortunately, it was Mardi Gras weekend, whatever they do there. And I went to the counter and the lady looked at me and she was a nice woman and she's wearing the flag. And I'm getting my groceries and she asked me and said, "Oh, are you going to celebrate Mardi Gras today?" I said, "No, I'm a Christian. I don't celebrate that stuff. I'm faithful to the Lord." I'll never forget as she's packing the groceries, she looked up and she said, "I don't believe in it either, but they make me wear the little flag." I never forgot that when she looked up. I didn't expect that from her. But as Christians, sometimes we have to tell the truth even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's awkward. Very awkward to say that, but I said, "Listen, I've got to be faithful to the Lord here. I don't celebrate that stuff. I celebrate Jesus." And she looked up. I never forgot that. She looked me straight in the eyes and said, "I don't celebrate it either. They make me wear it." Just remember those conversations you have with people when you've got to tell them some hard truths in a loving way. Sometimes they need to hear that.
Because I never expected her to turn around like that. I never expected her to turn around like that. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, the God who made the heavens and the earth, Jesus Christ, in your holy name, bless all of our hearts here today in your beautiful house. You are so faithful to us. Let us be more faithful to you. You are so loving to us. Let us be more loving to you in the way we conduct ourselves as human beings made in your image and your likeness. Oh, how you love us so much that you watch over us as we go by our week. You care for us so deeply as a bird cares for her little kids. You care for us, Lord. As a mother cares for her children, how much more do you care for us, Lord? Let the book of Daniel remind us to be faithful to you, Jesus, to be faithful for you in Sydney. No matter what stuff is around us, let us understand it's our delight to serve you, Jesus, to be faithful to you, to walk with you, Lord. And Lord, bless all of our hearts to be more faithful. Fill us up full of your Spirit more, Jesus. And let our lights shine. Let our lights shine so bright in the workplace, in the shopping centers, in the neighborhoods, in our families, around our friends. Let us be salt, Lord. Let us be faithful like Daniel and his friends were. Let us be faithful in Sydney, Jesus Christ, for your glory. In your holy name I pray, Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen.